Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday, we were talking about the sower and the seed. We're talking about allowing the word to penetrate our hearts. And today, we celebrate the feast of the conversion of St. Paul. And I want to share with you a very succinct and very powerful introduction that Magnificat magazine makes to the Mass for this feast of the conversion of St. Paul. There are a couple of authors involved in this, but I'll just read the words from Magnificat magazine, time-wise. Being converted is simply meeting yourself for the purpose of going to the very end of your being. That was Paul. Being converted is simply meeting yourself for the purpose of going to the very end of your being. Conversion means a willingness to see the truth of things and conform one's conduct to it. That's what I was talking about yesterday. In the voice and the light that Saul encounters on the road, he sees the truth of things and willingly conforms himself to Jesus Christ. St. Catherine of Siena said, "That dear preacher Paul was a wolf, but he became a lamb, a gracious vessel of love, and the fire with which Christ filled his vessel, he carried throughout the whole world." Brothers and sisters, we need more St. Pauls today. Whether it's Paul or Pauline, we need more saints. This is the pathway to becoming one. You take God's word seriously, and you conform your life to it, little by little. Even if you change in one or two areas over a year and they become part of you, that's advance, and God will bless that. Don't look for your immediate and total conversion. It's usually step by step. But if you make the commitment to walk the path, that joy no one will take from you. Believe me, there will be joy. O God, who taught the whole world through the preaching of blessed Apostle Paul, draw us, we pray, nearer to you through the example of him whose conversion we celebrate today, and so make us witnesses to your truth in the world. Let's pray for that. That as Paul was a witness to the truth, we become witnesses to the truth. The Acts of the Apostles, chapter 22, verses 3 to 16. Paul addressed the people in these words, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city. At the feet of Gamaliel, I was educated strictly in our ancestral law and was zealous for God, just as all of you are today. I persecuted this way," capital W, "I persecuted this way to death, binding both men and women and delivering them to prison. Even the high priest and the whole council of elders can testify on my behalf. For from them I even received letters to the brothers and set out for Damascus to bring back to Jerusalem in chains for punishment those there as well." So he was really complicit with the government, and he was bringing all these Christians to death. This is Paul. "On that journey, as I drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from the sky suddenly shone around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I replied, 'Who are you, sir?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus, the Nazarene, whom you are persecuting. My companions saw the light but did not hear the voice of the one who spoke to me. And I asked, "What shall I do, sir?" And the Lord answered me, 'Get up and go into Damascus, and there you will be told about everything appointed for you to do.' Since I could see nothing because of the brightness of that light, I was led by hand by my companions, and I entered Damascus. A certain Ananias, a devout observer of the law and highly spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and stood there and said," now remember, Saul was persecuting the Christians mightily. here comes Ananias, and he walks right up to Paul, and he says, "Saul, my brother, regain your sight." And at that very moment, I regained my sight, and I saw him. And then he said, "The God of our ancestors designated you to know his will, to see the righteous one, to hear the sound of his voice, for you will be his witness before all to what you have seen and heard. Now, why delay? Get up, have yourself baptized, and your sins washed away, calling upon his name." And Paul said, "Yes." Those are my words. Paul said, "Yes." He was knocked off his horse. He was blinded. And one disciple walked up to him, knowing that Paul could have just been disguising himself, and Paul could say, "Now I've got more Christians to turn into the government," so to speak. But he took the chance, and he said that he wanted to heal him, and did. He healed his sight. What a shocking time. Brothers and sisters, for most of us, it doesn't happen in quite that profound, external, powerful way. It happens quietly, but there is just as much power, just as much grace, just as much wisdom available to us when we say yes to God. What is God asking you to say yes to, so that you could be more profoundly his disciple in this time? Let's take a look at Psalm 117. "Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Glorify him, all you peoples. For steadfast is his kindness toward us, and the fidelity of the Lord endures forever." Mark 16 gives the trumpet call, "Go out to all the world and tell the good news." Brothers and sisters, every baptized Christian is called to that. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. Will you meet opposition? Absolutely. Will you be persecuted? Possibly. Go out to all the world and tell the good news, because there will always be those who do hear. I don't mean you stand on street corners and preach. You preach by your priorities. You preach by your conversation. You preach by your charity. You preach by your patience. You preach by your kindness. Go out to all the world and tell the good news. And the gospel today is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Verses 15 to 18. Jesus appeared to the 11, and he said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." I've seen some of those miracles in other parts of the world, where people understand more that they are poor, and they fully rely on God, and God does not disappoint. Brothers and sisters, we're so wealthy. We may think, "Well, I don't have this and I don't have that," but we're so wealthy compared to the rest of the world. We're so wealthy. How grateful are we for it, and how eager are we to share it with the poor and the needy? In some cases, your place in heaven depends on it. If you hoard for yourself, for your selected charities, though they can be very good, and that's fine, and that is one way of doing it, but are you willing to give it away where it won't have much fanfare, much of a trumpet blast to build your ego, but quietly you give to the poor? I just had a man say to me yesterday that he found a woman and her son in the most devastating of conditions, and that's right here in my own city. And they have absolutely nothing. 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 They have no resources. Nothing. And he's taking it on to find help, the right kind of help for them. And he doesn't have a lot of money, but he's giving what he has. What about you? What about me? I can say, well, I have avowed poverty. I don't have anything to give away. Yes, I do. There are certain things that I do have. They may be little, but I can give of myself. I can give of my time. I can give of the little wisdom that I do have. I can point them to other people, to other resources. There's lots of things I can do. I who have no money of my own. So don't let that hold you back and say, well, I don't have anything to give. You have yourself to give. You have yourself to give. I want to say, as I bring this program to a close, I want to say one more thing about Paul, and this is from Sister Ruth Burroughs. She says, Paul's own conversion was complete according to the grace of the moment. She quotes him, not that I have already obtained or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. To speak of Paul's conversion as the conversion of a sinner in the sense we usually mean it is to miss the point entirely. Paul was not a sinner in this sense. He was a deeply religious man, blameless in the keeping of the law. Nor is there a question of mere outward observance. He strove for purity of heart. In Romans, he tells us of his struggle to control his bad instincts. And the one he actually mentions is a holy interior one, covetousness, wanting what others have. Paul was not a hypocrite. He was not intent only on an outward show. The sudden encounter with the Lord upset his whole range of values and turned his spiritual world upside down. What hitherto he had regarded as a revolting scandal, utterly loathsome even to consider, namely that a man crucified as felon condemned by the law was God's Messiah, became now his only boast. It is hard for us to grasp the scandal this was for him, we who revere the cross, hailing it as the blessed sign of our redemption. For Paul it was anathema, the clean opposite of every idea he had of the God of his fathers and of the Messiah he could expect. For him the cross was the very symbol of shame and godlessness. His encounter with the Lord changed all this in a moment, and the cross became the center of his existence, the only content of his preaching. That's conversion, brothers and sisters. That's radical conversion. And it's a grace that God wants to give each of us in the midst of our sin and our need, our poverty and our hope. May you open your heart to receive all that God has for you. God bless you. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.